Hey everyone, and welcome to the Coffee and Compete podcast, the show about the news, gossip, and tactics of competitive business strategy. As always, brought to you by Clue. Breaking news, this is an emergency recording of the podcast here. We are recording remotely right now, if you're on YouTube, Hunter and I, because Kluvid struck. The Clue flew. The 2025 kickoff happened with Clue, and we're down bad, but we didn't want to miss an episode, Hunter, did we?
No, we did not. But you know what? This is actually a really good opportunity because now we get to show off your background, Adam, which, by the way,
brand new.
Absolutely killer. Love it.
Brand new. This was my Christmas work, was decorating the office. So if there's one, if there's one silver lining in this, it's that. So apologies to anyone if I start hacking up, especially our audio editor, to be honest. If you made me laugh this episode, Hunter, it's gonna be a little disgusting on the mic, unfortunately.
Well, this is a serious episode, so no laughter allowed, Adam, okay? No laughing.
But the other reason as well, we thought, you know what, we're feeling a little under the weather. Maybe we can just skip a week. But one, we didn't want to skip a week, Grayson said, no chance, no way, no how. And then a pretty big news story hit. So that's what we're going to cover here. Quickly jump into one of the biggest stories happening in the world of compete. But first, I want to share a couple of things we've got coming up in the community. Hunter, your friend and I, Josh Gladstone, the man that knows a thing or two about building best-in-class battle cards, is running a session, a power half-hour session next Friday, which is what, February 7th? Did I make that up, Hunter?
That sounds about right to me.
On Feb 7th, Josh will be doing a 30-minute session, how to build best-in-class battle cards. He is awesome. He helps our customers do this on a daily basis. So make sure to go check that out. You can be able to register in the show notes. Secondly, we are running the 2025 Win-Loss Trends Report, and it's going to be the largest in the industry. We're looking at how teams are investing in win-loss, how they're structuring it, the strategic priorities that they're focusing on, and future trends for the year. That's coming out in March, but we'd love for you to contribute to it today. So there is a survey, 5 minutes. That's all it takes to fill out, share your expertise, give your feedback to the community, and we'll be sharing that report out in March. So link as well will be in the show notes. Hunter, I know you've already filled it out, but yeah, very excited for that and the stuff that we'll be sharing from that after. But should we get into the news story here, Hunty?
Let's dive into it.
Okay. This is a big one, and this is one that you are very, very passionate about, but we're reopening the can of worms of the AI wars because big news dropped this week all around the rise of DeepSeek. So for those of you who don't know, in just a short span, this Chinese AI company has disrupted the landscape entirely, surpassing ChatGPT as the most downloaded AI app on the US Apple App Store. And it might just be challenging the dominance of American AI giants. So originally, it was a research lab within a hedge fund, and then DeepSeek spun out as an independent AI company. And now they've made waves with their open source language models. That's very key here, open source language models, and is delivering capabilities as comparable to what we all know, ChatGPT and OpenAI's models, but at a fraction of a cost. I believe it costs $6 million to produce, and it sent shockwaves throughout the Silicon Valley and the US stock market as a whole. I believe NVIDIA's stock crashed by 17% upon this release, and it's really raised questions about the future of AI competition. So, Hunter, I'm going to flip it to you to give a little bit more color to specifically around DeepSeek, and then I'm just going to pepper you with questions. So, I miss out on this TLDR here?
No, I think you kind of nailed it. So basically, the backstory here, I guess, just a little bit beyond like what you covered. So, new model comes out. This model was way, way cheaper to develop than a lot of like sort of the frontier models that we see today, like O1, like Anthropic's Claude 3.5, and others, like other specifically others that are open source, like Llama 2 and 3. So it's a lot cheaper to develop. I think there's basically two different stories here. The first is a story around company competition. And then the second one that might be worth touching on is around country competition. So when it comes to the company competition side here, we've got DeepSeek, which because it was so much cheaper to develop, they can basically charge a very, very low cost and still be profitable in this case. We've heard that there have been some reports that DeepSeek is actually turning a profit on some of these, on their models. And then there's also the country competition side here. So this was a Chinese company that developed this. And there have been people who have come in, like Mark Andreessen, who's talking about this concept of like, this is the Sputnik moment of AI, where we've got another country that is challenging sort of like the US AI supremacy here. And so there's kind of the tussle right there. And then Adam, like you mentioned, NVIDIA took a huge hit. There was $1 trillion in market value that was wiped out the day that DeepSeek was announced. So now it's one of the most, I'm actually pretty sure it's the most popular app in the App Store right now. It just overtook OpenAI's ChatGPT app. And so obviously that's really impressive. But there's so many layers to this story. It's crazy. There's speculation that this may have been developed using NVIDIA's best chips, even though they technically weren't supposed to be using them. There's speculation that they may have even trained part of their model on OpenAI or using OpenAI outputs. And so now OpenAI is kind of coming back to the table now and saying, you know, what's up with this? Do we have to maybe involve legal action? So there's that angle as well. There's just so many different layers to this. It's kind of crazy.
And this is so fresh right now that literally this morning, as we were building out the prep doc for this, there was new news stories dropping in here too, like you mentioned with OpenAI there. Like there is probably another 10 news stories that's going to come up related to this and new developments upon this release too. Like that's why we wanted to jump on it so soon as well here. Well, let me toss my first question over to you, because given this rapid rise from DeepSeek, how do you think the other major players right now are responding behind the scenes?
Ooh, okay. So if we think about major players like OpenAI, Anthropic, maybe even Meta right now, basically like lay of the land, the pressure that they're probably feeling right now is they have huge upfront fixed costs that they have to basically spend to train their models. So Anthropic, for example, we don't know exact numbers, but they say it was between $100 million and $1 billion to train their frontier model. That is absolutely insane when you compare it to the $6 million that it costs to train DeepSeek. So in order for these companies to remain relatively competitive, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to decrease costs, but they have much, much higher expenses than DeepSeek. So what they're probably feeling is, how do we either differentiate over the long term, which they're going to have to figure out if they want to keep their prices relatively high, but they are in a situation now where they're probably going to have to decrease their prices. There's not a huge level of differentiation between their products and DeepSeek. So they're probably going to have to turn their prices down. And that means they're going to be losing a lot more money. They're going to have to increase their burn rate.
Forbes reported as well that Meta have developed or deployed 4 different war rooms right now to work out how DeepSeek was even created in the first place. As you mentioned as well, ChatGPT are kind of looking like inspecting as well as like, what, how was this thing built? And now with the claims that there is stolen data from their own outputs as well. I think one of the big things I mentioned off the top that is one of the kind of most notable pieces behind DeepSeek's rapid rise compared to the biggest players in the AI space right now is the open source model. So given DeepSeek is an open source model, how does this shift the balance of power right now in AI space? Like, do you think like open models in general are posing a real threat to any closed source approach?
I don't know. I mean, Llama is another open source model, right? And I don't think that, well, there are different use cases, of course, between like a Llama model that you might want to use as open source versus something like ChatGPT that is probably going to be used by a lot more people. I think ChatGPT-01, a lot of people would agree, is better than Llama, and it outperforms in most benchmarks as well. So yeah, I think that like open source versus closed source, there are differences in terms of use case, but I don't see it being like a, you know, just because they're open source, that makes them like, you know, exponentially better than all other available alternatives. Like Llama has been a great open source alternative, but ChatGPT continues to be more widely adopted than Llama. So I don't know. That's kind of my take on this.
Could you explain to a five-year-old the difference between open source and a closed source approach?
Sure. So a closed source approach, you can think of it like ChatGPT, if you have used it, that's a closed source approach where basically anytime you're using ChatGPT, you're using it on their servers. You're basically just using their service. So you can go to chatgpt.com and you're going to be basically using their service, but it's still being run on their servers. And you're basically just, you know, using that service remotely. Whereas with an open source model, basically what you can do is it's almost like you could download that model and run it on your own computer as if you built it yourself. So that's kind of the way that you can think about open source versus closed source here. So open source also gives you the flexibility to maybe even change the model a little bit if you need to. Although I can imagine that would be a lot more, you know, complicated. Not that I've ever tried it or anything like that. That's far, far out of my realm, but I can imagine some people might try doing stuff like that for more like verticalized applications and things.
Given the speed with which DeepSeek got traction, what do you think were the biggest factors that drove this level of adoption for it? Like you mentioned, like Llama was also open source, so that didn't grow to this level. So what, in your opinion, are the biggest reasons for why?
Well, I think that there's two things. So the first is DeepSeek is like, it's good. It's if you look at it in terms of its comparable like benchmarks. So if you benchmark it compared to OpenAI, DeepSeek is as good and better than OpenAI's best frontier model. So that's the first. Typically, whenever there's like some type of really, really, you know, strong model, it gets adoption pretty quickly. If you remember Claude 3.5, when that came out, a lot of people actually switched over from ChatGPT to using Claude 3.5 because now that was the best model before 01 came out. So that's sort of like the first contributing factor. But then two, you have to pay for ChatGPT 01 right now, and it's pretty expensive. And if you want to be using like a lot of 01's sort of like more advanced features, in some cases, that's up to $200 a month, whereas DeepSeek right now is free or very, very cheap. So if you're getting really strong performance for way less money, then you're obviously going to use the cheaper option. And then I think that there's something around the APIs as well. That's not necessarily something that, you know, is told to the App Store story where it's sort of going top of the charts there. But I could definitely see DeepSeek being used in more applications through their API in the future because it's just so much cheaper for pretty comparable performance to ChatGPT. So we'll have to see how that actually plays out because there are some legitimate privacy and security concerns after the news that came out yesterday with Wiz. But yeah, we'll see how that part plays out in terms of its adoption.
If you were leading an AI startup today, Hunter, I'd be a part of it. I'd work for you. How would this news change your strategy going forward, if at all?
If I were running an AI startup, you mean like running a competing solution to DeepSeek, or yeah, a company that would be using a model?
Company using a model. Let's do that.
Well, I think the reality is a lot of AI startups that are using LLM APIs in their tool, they use a lot of different types of models because different models can be good for different types of tasks. Sometimes you need speed. Sometimes you need reasoning. Sometimes you need, you know, it just depends on what task you're trying to accomplish. what I'd be thinking about with respect to DeepSeek is, okay, if I need a reasoning model and I need something to that's going to be like relatively cheap and security concerns are maybe not the absolute top of my list for this particular task, then this might actually become maybe one of the default tools that I end up using. And if the security concerns end up not being so important down the road, then I might actually start turning to this as an alternative to ChatGPT. So that's kind of the way that I'd be thinking about this.
Any final predictions on how you believe this will play out?
Well, I have so many questions. I'm not even sure if I have predictions, but...
Questions then.
Well, my questions are, first of all, the $500 billion that have been talked about being invested in AI infrastructure over the next few years. Microsoft, I think, was going to contribute $80 billion of that. My question is that still needed? If you can build really, really high quality AI models like this for a fraction of what we thought was possible in the past, then do you need that level of AI infrastructure? Maybe you do. Maybe it's just you can do a lot more with it based on some of these like new techniques that that were used in the development of DeepSeek. But that, I think, is a legitimate question that people are asking right now. A few of my other questions are really around what's going to happen to the frontier models in the States. So if it's so much cheaper for someone to use DeepSeek for comparable performance, then what happens to ChatGPT? What happens to Claude? Do people continue to use them? And even if they do, what's going to happen to their pricing? Are ChatGPT and Claude and others going to have to reduce their prices? And if they do, and they have to increase their burn, these companies are looking maybe less investable now. So, you know, for example, OpenAI is valued at $157 billion. They have taken on tons of funding, billions of dollars of funding over the past while. Was that needed? Are they going to be able to raise their next round at that type of valuation? These are questions that that I'm asking that I think other people are asking too. So only time will tell.
All right. Thank you, Hunty. I'm glad we managed to do this, even though we're from afar. And this was a sick episode in more ways than one. And I can't wait to see how this plays out. I'm sure we're going to cover this story again, likely in a month, maybe even in a couple of weeks. So thanks everyone for tuning into this episode, and we'll catch you all next week.